Tandem Nomads, episode 15.
I really fell in love with the culture, although I was so, you know, not so much open at the beginning. But is the one thing that I really would like to pass on to everyone. It's just this amazing thing that you, if you manage to stay open, all these wonderful things going to happen. And then, of course, you take all these beautiful experiences with you and your heart grows, your mind grows. It's just your horizon gets so much wider.
Welcome to Tandem Nomads, where inspiring expat partners from around the world share with you how they turn the challenges of relocation into great opportunities. So are you following your partner abroad for his or her career? Then Tandem Nomads is the place for you. Go to tandemnomads.com and sign up for the newsletter. Hello, Nomad Nation. This is Amel Deregi, and I'm very, very excited to bring to you our guest today, Katia Otter. Katia?
Yes?
Are you ready for the ride?
I am, yay!
Fantastic! Katia comes from Austria, and she's been traveling to many countries with her family. She's been living in the Emirates, United Arab Emirates, in Japan, in South Korea, and in the US. Right now, she's living in Tokyo. And during her travels, she's been working in many areas of business management until she discovered a great passion for yoga and made it a career. And today she's a yoga instructor. Katia,
yes.
This is a very short overview of your story. Can you tell us more about your story? How did you start your journey? And what is your life today like?
I try to cut it short. I've been on this journey for such a long time. So it started, so I met my husband at university. And so we're both studying business administrations in Vienna. And both of us, I guess we had a passion for traveling and living abroad. So after we finished our studies, we decided we would like to live abroad, and we were discussing options how we can do it. So he was a business consultant, I was a business consultant. So we tried to find some options to move abroad and live abroad and work abroad. And both of us, we have been working as volunteers at the Chamber of Commerce, and he was as a student in Japan and I was in Venezuela. And so we thought an opportunity would be to apply at the Chamber of Commerce and go abroad with this institution. The Austrian Chamber of Commerce, yeah. And so he applied and he got the job. And so we were very happy. And although I wanted to do that job too, but I thought I'm more flexible than he is in finding jobs abroad.
Why is that?
Yeah, we discussed it before if I should apply as well. And then he was very honest and he said, you know, I think I would have really difficulties to be the partner that, you know, comes along and has to find jobs.
So can you tell us the different countries where you've been and how was your experience briefly in each of those?
Yeah, so the first country was Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, as you have mentioned. So that was the first posting, and I remember very well when his phone call came, and I was working as a business consultant at the time, and he just sent me a text message and said Abu Dhabi. and I had to leave the room. I was in a meeting, I think, and I had to leave the room, and then went to the toilet and thought, oh my God, what am I going to do in Abu Dhabi? Because I was afraid that, you know, I was really afraid that as a woman, I won't be able to find a job. And for me, of course, you know, I just wanted not to be a housewife and stay at home. At that time, we didn't have kids. So for me, it was really important to also work in that country. So that was just the very first reaction, you know, it's just like, oh my God, maybe, you know, as a woman, I'm limited, I cannot work there. So that was just the first thought. But as it turned out, it was an amazing opportunity for me because I could work as a PR and marketing manager in a five-star hotel at the Crown Plaza.
That's great.
And it showed me just, again, to stay open for these opportunities because I changed job from a business consultant into PR and marketing, and I found that PR and marketing is much more suitable for my personality and for my whole. So that was fantastic. So I could work there for the 3 years that we stayed there. And just at the very end, I was pregnant with my first son. So, and then we moved from Abu Dhabi to Tokyo after 3 years. That was a big culture shock for me. So from all the moves we had, that was definitely the hardest so far. Because I had to move with a 2-month-old baby. From Abu Dhabi, where we had, on the weekends, we really enjoyed great outdoor life. And we are people who love to be in nature and outside. So we came from that beautiful spot where we experienced a lot of nature in the desert and the ocean to a concrete jungle in Tokyo. And especially with the little baby. So it was hard. So first of all, I couldn't read anything because, you know, everything in kanji, katakana, hiragana. And then it was hard to move with a stroller in the city. All the things I just had to get used to. And then just after 2 weeks, we moved from Abu Dhabi to Tokyo. My father died. So all these difficult things happened in that period of time, at this transitional time. So it was really hard. And I would say the first half a year in Tokyo, I struggled. I was really, yeah.
And how did you manage to get out of this deep feeling of frustration and probably sadness and culture shock?
Yeah, to connect with other mothers. And I was lucky enough to meet another Austrian lady. And she introduced me to like a playgroup for moms with their little babies. And it's so interesting because until now, we are really best friends. And this was a group of 6 ladies. And 4 out of these 6, we are still in touch and really, really, really good friends. So that because it was such an intense time and we were really bonding, And I think we lived through that difficult time together. That's why. The friendship is very strong.
And in Tokyo, how long did you stay there?
Again, it was 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it was also very interesting. For me, Japan would never have been a first priority to move. I don't know. It's just, you know, we have these perceptions and things. So I was hesitant to come to Japan, and at the end, after these 3 years, I didn't want to move. Mm-hmm. I felt so much in love with the culture, and I had my second child then in Tokyo. So of course that is also a very intense experience always if you give birth to a child in that particular country. So my first son was born in Abu Dhabi actually, and the second son was born in Tokyo. So that even, I don't know, the bonding to this country is then even stronger, I feel. Yeah. And I really fell in love with the culture, although I was so, you know, not so much open at the beginning.
Interesting.
But that's what is the one thing that I really would like to pass on to everyone. It's just this amazing thing that if you manage to stay open, all these wonderful things going to happen. And
I liked what you said so far, because it must have been a change from Abu Dhabi to Tokyo. And one of the first advice that you had and help you had was to not stay alone and lonely.
Yes, exactly.
In your corner.
Connect with other people who might be in the same situation, or in my case it was some other moms with young children.
The second thing you said that I think is very important is to keep open and be open to the new cultures, even if at the beginning you don't really get it or understand it or feel comfortable in it.
So the third thing I would say was for me to learn the language, to start to learn the language, because I was really desperate to communicate and also to find my way around. And just learning the katakana and hiragana helped me
so
to navigate.
So what is it? Is it the language?
So that's the language. Yeah, but, you know, there are 3 different ways to write the language. Okay. So, and there's hiragana, katakana, and then the kanjis, the Chinese letters. And the hiragana and katakana, they are syllables, and katakana, all the foreign words, like the English words would be written in katakana, and the hiragana and kanji is always mixed. So one word can contain, I don't know, three katakana or... a couple of hiraganas, but together with kanjis.
So, how much time did you need to start?
To really read the language, I think, I don't know, for me, it's definitely a life task.
but you're managing it.
No. Yeah, but reading and writing is really I'm struggling with. But to understand and to talk to, mm-hmm. I could manage... at least in a survival mode, which helped me in that situation a lot. And I took private Japanese classes because I had these two little babies at home. So it helped me to have the private teacher come to my home and continue learning while I was busy with the kids.
That must have been very intense 3 years.
Yes. I started to fall in love with the whole culture, and another passion I discovered was playing the drums, the Japanese drums, the taiko drums. And again, I had a prejudgment because I walked on the street and I heard the drums, and I always thought in Japan it's only male drumming. There's only male people who drum. I don't know why I thought that. But then I walked on the street, heard the drums, and I saw a ladies' drumming group performing. Oh. And then it touched my heart, and I loved the sound of the drums. And then I just was walking up there and asked where I could take some drumming classes. And then they invited me, and so I started to learn to play the taiko drums.
You know what it tells me? I think one of the secrets of adapting to a new country is curiosity.
Yes, curiosity.
And I guess the fact that you were interested and asked questions and might have helped you fall in love with this country and get adapted to a very different culture.
Yeah, I really think you should. Yeah, get yes. That's true. And then the next step was the yoga. So my yoga journey actually started already in Abu Dhabi when I was pregnant with my first child. And I always like to mention that I actually was introduced to yoga in an Arabic country. So that is something very interesting. I think not so many people have practiced yoga in Arab countries, or just at least really got exposed for the first time. So that is a very interesting start of my journey. And then because I liked the yoga so much, I tried to find yoga studios and yoga classes in Tokyo again. Okay. And this is this red line, I think, through my moves, that the yoga helped me a lot to cope with all the changes. And I was always trying to find a yoga studio, and automatically going to yoga classes, I felt again connected to some people who share the same interest, passion. So it doesn't matter. In my case, it was the yoga, and in other cases, it might be just different hobbies, different sports activities. But that's...
So you're mentioning basically the importance of yoga in your life personally, but also to bond with other people, right?
Yes.
To find a common...
It's just a community, to find a community mm-hmm. Where you can share your interests and ideas. And
So until now, it was basically you were practicing yoga for yourself. It wasn't a profession. And then what happened after Tokyo?
After Tokyo, we moved to New York. That was not such a culture shock, because eventually in the supermarket, for example, I could read everything again. And it's interesting. I was feeling comfortable. But then on the other hand, really fell in love with Japan. Mm. I missed, of course, now this part's kicked in. So I really missed the Japanese culture, and I missed the Japanese food and all these things.
Oh.
So, and I remember at that preschool of my little son, people were very nice, and they knew I was new in town, and they asked, if you like, we can introduce you to some German people. Mm-hmm. My first reaction was, yeah, that would be nice, but maybe, do you know also Japanese? And so then she was so nice, and she said, yes, actually my neighbor is Japanese, and I'm going to introduce you to her.
Oh, sweet.
And so guess what? This Japanese lady, she became one of my best friends, and again, we are still in touch. And again, it was a very, very bonding relationship.
Yeah. So did you continue practicing yoga in New York as a,
yes,
as a hobby, or...?
As a hobby first, mm-hmm, and then I found a great yoga studio where I could do the yoga teacher training. And I carried it with me a couple of years that this would be a dream, or I would really like to do a yoga teacher training, mm-hmm, eventually. But somehow it had to fit into my schedule. The boys were still very young, and they went to preschool just for a couple of hours a day, so I had to find, you know, I work around this schedule, so I had to wait for the right time. And actually, in my second year in New York, I was working for an Austrian company, mm-hmm, so
what did you do there?
I was in the administration. Yeah, working in the administration for Fürst Alpine. Yeah.
What was your motivation to look for a job then? You were quite intense and
because busy. Yeah, this is a good question. It was on my personal path and on my personal journey. I had to learn to listen more to intuition, and I was very mind driven. So coming from that consultant job, then PR and marketing, and so I had a strong feeling I should continue my path of career, this career path, you know. I was really okay, I studied business administration, I should follow this career, now I have a chance in New York to get back to my original profession. But then on the other hand, there was always this love and passion for yoga, and I also remember asking my husband, said, what shall I do? Shall I, you know, completely change and do the yoga teacher training, or shall I take the job at the Fürst Alpine?
And?
Of course, he couldn't answer it for me. I had to find the right decision. And yeah, it was a decision between head and heart.
And decided...
I was mind-driven, so I decided to continue the career path. I thought, oh, yeah, I went to university for a long time, and I just invested a lot into my career, so let's go back. But then, you know, the universe sent several signs that this might not be the path for me. And after 1 year, I had to quit the job because we had issues with the nanny. I still, because my boys, they went only for a couple of hours to preschool, I needed a nanny to watch after them and to take care of them for the other 3 hours. In total, I had to work 6 hours a day. And so this nanny, she could switch to a full-time position, and then she left, and I had to find a new one and a new one. Then I had to, you know, make another really important decision. So do I stay in that job where I actually, you know, struggle with this work-mom balance? Anyway, I was always the last mom to pick up the kids. Yeah, so I had a lot guilt also. Yeah. And then, of course, I was just working, earning the money that I gave straight away to the nanny.
Yeah.
So I had, you know, then I thought, no, actually, it's, I felt, for me, that was a really personal decision. I'd rather spend a little bit more time with the kids and, yes, and look for something that I can do within these hours that they are at preschool.
Okay.
And then I found this yoga teacher training that really matched exactly that time frame.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So you continued training in New York to become a yoga teacher,
yeah,
while taking care of the kids. And
yeah. So, but, you know, then I found this balance, mm-hmm, between something that really is my passion and something I want to move on and educate a little bit more, and being a mom, you know, spending time with the kids, and yeah, I
Wonderful. You've been doing a lot of progress in each country, as you've been describing so well. So what happens once you get to a certain point where you want to reach and then have to go? How does it feel for you?
That's a very good point. It's always hard. Mm. And so there's no doubt about it. And it's, I think, really, especially for the partner that, you know, that joins, the tandem.
Yeah.
Tandem partner, it's really hard because you, as you mentioned also, you start to set up something. So you start with zero and then you build up on something and you grow and develop a lot. And then, you know, you have to leave everything behind. That's how it seems maybe now on the first sight. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, you take so much with you.
Yeah.
So in these days, first of all, it is so easy to stay in touch with your friends. So through social media and everything is so much easier now. And then, of course, you take all these beautiful experiences with you, and your heart grows, your mind grows. It's just your horizon gets so much.
This is really beautiful. It's been to. There's another country you've been doing that.
We went back to Austria for 2 years, and then from Austria we went to South Korea.
Wow, that has been a real journey.
Yeah,
so you had between Tokyo and then New York, you had two kids, right?
Yes. And then back in Austria, the third one was born. So in these 2 years, our third son was born. He's the only real Austrian. Although it's so funny, he was born in Austria. And then when he was 1 year, we moved to South Korea. And so with his 6 years now, he lived 5 years in Asia. So he was born in Austria, but he's really not an Austrian.
So basically you started in Abu Dhabi, then Tokyo, then New York, then Austria,
then
South Korea, and then you're back to Tokyo.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. And so when did you start professionally completely making the switch? You've been mentioning how busy now you are as a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
So tell us.
It's also very interesting. It has to grow, and there has to be also the right time. It's very interesting because, for example, in South Korea, I was also teaching yoga, and it also was, you know, worked well, but... For example, it was very difficult to rent a place to teach yoga. So I really struggled with finding the right spot and, you know, so many limitations if you don't speak the language fluently and all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And then one thing that is hard for the partner too, I have to say, is if we don't get work permission.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think this is a very, very important point, which... I suffered, I have to say, a little bit in South Korea. So I could not officially work, and so it made it a little bit much harder. A little bit harder. And now in Tokyo, everything was so much easier. I can teach, first of all, here in my home, because I have a beautiful living room, and I live central. In Seoul, we lived far away from the German school and a little bit far away, so... That was also something, you know, it's very interesting because really each destination has always these pros and cons, and where you live, where your kids go to school, all this it defines
your lifestyle, I guess.
Your lifestyle, mm-hmm. Yes.
Very important. Mm-hmm. This is why it's important to prepare a bit in advance before you move in.
I remember spending a lot of nights in front of the computer together with my husband. That maybe comes back to the question you asked earlier. Mm-hmm. We sit in front of the computer. We look on Google Maps where the houses are, where the schools are, then go through all these different web pages of the schools and try to get... and paint the picture for ourselves to see how life would be there. And
so you do the research together.
Yes.
Okay. That's important, I guess, no?
Yes, I think it's very important. And because my husband knows that for me the yoga is so important, I remember also when I'm not so convinced about one destination, he always comes up with with all that beautiful web pages about yoga studios. And he said, this yoga studio there, look what is that. So, yeah.
It's a very clever man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very interesting. And what I like about the solution you found in your case, first of all, you really turned every challenge into a great opportunity to learn and to evolve and to grow. You also picked actually a very nice activity, professional activity that you can take anywhere you want, although you mentioned the difficulties of working permit, but sometimes you can do it on private setting or at least for yourself, you know?
It's true.
So what kind of advice would you give to Nomad Nation to be able to take their small business with them and develop it in the countries? How did you, for example, find your first clients, get to people to know you? Is there any tips you can give away here?
Again, try to meet as many people as you can. That helps you to, you know, build up a network. And I find this network is so important for everything you want to do. And by meeting other people, you get new ideas, especially if you're a new country. And I remember in Seoul, for example, I signed up for that International Women's Association just because I was also interested in taking some classes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just by meeting other people, you talk about what you do, and then usually they, oh, you're a yoga instructor, great, so where do you teach? Well, maybe not at the moment, somewhere. Oh, then let's start a group. So many people I met, you know, also I'm very fortunate to meet a lot of other people who are open-minded and open for these challenges. And then I have to say, through schools. So because I have school children, I'm always very involved in the school life and in the school community. So I always offered kids yoga classes and just being active in the community.
So we're going to reach soon the end of this interview, and you've been giving us great, great advice here. And before we say goodbye, I would like to go through the spinning round. So the spinning round is a couple of questions, and you just have a few seconds to respond to them. So what are your plans for the 2 coming years?
Staying flexible and open-minded.
Great. Do you have an internet resource like Skype that you find useful in your nomadic life?
Yes, I mean, definitely. Social media, everything you can get, Facebook. Google everything about the new life. In these days, it gets really easy.
Definitely.
Yeah, you find a lot of information online.
What would be the best way to find you, Katya, if anybody wants to ask you questions?
Oh, through my personal email.
So would you like to share it?
Yes, definitely. So it's otakatya@gmail.com.
Fantastic. So Nomad Nation, you will find Katya's information and great tips on our show notes page in the website of Tandem Nomads below this podcast episode. So Katya, thank you so much. You've been sharing amazing advice in your beautiful story. Thank you for coming here and spending this time with us.
Thank you so much. It was really a lot of fun and a great pleasure talking to you. You're doing a great job here, and I love to support your project. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Nomad Nation, do you feel sometimes you would like to find people who can really understand the challenges that you are going through? Find people with whom you can talk about those challenges and who could really understand you. If it's the case, then don't wait any longer. Go to facebook.com and join the incredible Tandem Nomads community. Type Tandem Nomads on the search bar. You will find the Facebook page. I invite you to like it. And you will also find the Facebook private group. Just ask to be admitted, and I will gladly do so. Go to facebook.com, type Tandem Nomads,